I wonder, I might have said this before, but have you ever noticed some of the saddest words in our English language all begin with a letter D? Now, you're going to start thinking now, aren't you? But I'm going to give you some of them. For example, disappointment, doubt, disillusionment, defeat, discouragement, despondency, depression, despair, death. I could go on. There's a little list for you. And the movie producer Woody Allen once said the following: our civilization stands at the crossroads. Down one road is despondency and despair. Down the other road is total annihilation. I hope we'll take the right road. Well, he's trying to be funny there, isn't he? But his statement reflects the despair and pessimism, I think, almost of our time. So let's look at another story of a road, this one. If you've got a Bible, do have it open at Luke 24. I'm going to be referring briefly to it as we go through. But those D words, whether it's disappointment or despondency, despair, whatever it might be, all these words sum up, I think, how Cleopas and his companion were feeling as they trudged up that road towards Emmaus. Sad and disillusioned. Imagine they reach the village, as this African depiction of the Emmaus story shows, and they ask Jesus to stay, not having recognized him as yet, although he's opened the scriptures to them. We're not told if others joined them for the meal. Nevertheless, Jesus presided over this meal, even though he only joined the true travelers as a stranger. Jesus took charge, in a way, and conducted the affairs of the evening as, I suppose you could say, master of ceremonies. Just as he'd done many, many times before, he takes the bread, thanks the Father for the bounty, breaks it, and gives it to his companions. That voice, those wounded hands. This is no ordinary supper. The truths that Jesus had articulated from the scriptures to them was liberating, which Andy reminded us of last week in his sermon. And their eyes were opened. They instantly recognized there in their presence their risen and beloved friend, the suffering and victorious Messiah, whose humiliation, as they saw it, they'd grieved over. Suddenly their hearts, and it's difficult to imagine, isn't it, were filled with joy, the joy that came from the realization that Jesus was alive. And with that, he'd gone. Remember the first meal, I use that loosely, in the Bible? Fruit, apple, whatever you want to call it, that first meal in the Bible. The woman took and ate the fruit, gave it to her husband, and he ate it. Their eyes were opened too, and they were naked before the Lord. The beginning of the woes of the human race, with death itself traced back to their rebellion against Almighty God, along with sorrow, along with decay, and the rest of it. Here in Luke's story, the story is echoed, I believe, describing the first meal of a new creation. The Emmaus couple, who could have been Cleopas and his wife, that's up for debate, doesn't matter who, the two of them discover that death had been defeated and the curse had been broken. Bishop Tom Wright says, God's new creation, brimming with life and joy and new possibility, has burst upon the world of decay and sorrow. And we should smile at that. See, Luke tells us the story. I'm going to put up different pictures, paintings of the Emmaus story, the journey, and in that Emmaus room. Luke tells us this very well-known story we hear most Easters in a way that helps us live it, I think, in our lives, helps us live it ourselves. You and I today are invited to listen to the exposition of scriptures that Jesus gives, as we heard Anne read to us, revealing how all of them point to him. And so our hearts, even this morning in 2018, can burn anew as old truths are refreshed by God's Holy Spirit and renewed. New truths are revealed for us, and we are set on fire with love for Jesus. Now that means in here, not physically, with love for him. He is the one to which all Scripture points. The breaking of bread here in our story refers to a meal, and not just specifically, I think, to the Lord's Supper or Holy Communion. Here, Jesus reveals himself to them during an ordinary meal. And that is often how he works. We need, I think, to learn to see him in the everyday things of life. Do we do that? Because I think we need to see him in those everyday things, whatever they may be. And also, when we share bread and wine at communion, we desire Jesus to reveal himself there to each of us in a very new way. As we look at the breaking of bread, let's look at it with a broad understanding of the term. One that includes, yes, and honours the practice of Last Supper, Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper, Eucharist, whatever you want to call it. But also reflects on, I think, on the breaking of bread in other ways, in other contexts too. Ways that makes Jesus known. For example, over a meal with friends, as Andy said, the welcome meal on Monday evening. At an alpha meal or refreshments as we share together. Whatever it may be. In your own home as you share with brothers and sisters and those yet to know him as Lord. It is, I hope, our desire as we break bread that we will be transformed by God's love and we may be energized by his Holy Spirit to play our part, and we've all got a part to play, in transforming our church, our families, our communities, dare I say, our wider world too. And I hope that this habit of breaking bread, the third of our habits, will deepen our trust, that we may afresh know that, yes, you and I are truly loved by God. The hymns John has picked already this morning have told us that. And they will so challenge you and I to offer our love back to him in whatever way that may be. May we live alongside others as a thankful, broken, blessed, and sharing people. Let's return to the term breaking bread, an intriguing term as you think about it. And I think the introduction to this, given in the Holy Habits book, is very helpful. So I'm going to quote from it, and I hope you manage to follow it as you maybe look at that next picture on the screen. Andrew Roberts, who wrote the book, says, "Depending upon whom you speak to and which biblical commentary you consult, a range of understanding emerges. Maybe that's because we each experience God in different ways as Christians. Some might be led by intellect through words. Some by emotions through experiences. Some could be mystics, finding God in images and symbols. And some activists, finding God in acts of mercy and acts of justice." And he says, "To add to the complexity, each one of us is probably a mixture of two or even all of these approaches. In light of all of this, might there," he says, "be a scope to approach this holy habit with a sense of childlike wonder? If in breaking bread, Christ becomes known, is it," he says, "possible that the reflections, sermons we share in exploring this holy habit might seek to provide a glimmer of realness which seeks to engage with our own realness and the realness of the people we serve?" Now, that's a long quote, but I share it with you because I think there's a lot in that. We all approach things differently, even in a congregation like this. The Velveteen Rabbit, I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up if you've read it, is a classic children's story. It tells the tale of a stuffed rabbit who is on a mission to become real or known through the love of his owner. Using this story as inspiration, is it possible that through the love of the one who owns us, we might become real enough to allow the one, that is the Lord, to be known through us as we break open the Word of God. If so, how might this story, and you're going to go home and read it, I'm sure, if you haven't already, how might this story help us to explore that through all our senses, whatever kind of personality type we are? In the story, the little boy holds this velveteen rabbit so lovingly, so persistently, that eventually, and you've all been in this situation probably, all his fur is loved off it. Amazingly, the rabbit then somehow becomes real through his brokenness. After the resurrection, when Jesus sat at table with his disciples and friends, and later when he appeared to them in the upper room, he was within touching distance, still bearing the scars of real and incarnate love for you and me. And suddenly in that brokenness, he became oh so real. What are the moments of realness that reveal the resurrected Jesus in the ordinariness of our brokenness? Because we are all broken. If you didn't know that, you do now. Moments like the breaking of bread, the comforting hug of a friend, a look or smile from a stranger, the taste of shared meals, the bitter saltiness of tears shed, or the beauty of intense silence when only silence will suffice, maybe. It would be a wonderful thing if we could be brave enough to share how God is real in our lives, with each other, maybe over coffee, in our home groups, and how God is present in the lives of those around us too. What a moment in Emmaus that must have been. Oh, to be a fly on the wall. That's another one of God's videos I want to watch sometime in glory, if they're ever available. It must have been truly amazing. How would you respond in that situation? Put yourself in Cleopas's place and listen as those disciples tell Jesus and tell his friends, "The Lord is risen. Have you new ears to hear and new eyes to see?" Be convinced by your experience and the experience of others that Jesus is alive for you and for them. Sometimes we need that confidence renewed. That's that setting on fire afresh for Jesus, that he will actually do that and renew our love for him. The facts are given. The record is clear. The scriptures also record the evidence of the tomb and the first resurrection eyewitnesses. We can shut our ears to those records and dismiss them as irrelevant, yet they will not go away. It's the duty of the Christian community, of which we're all part, to tell until truth dawns in hearts touched by God. That's what Alpha's about. That's what we're about, wherever you find yourself on your front line this coming week. The sacrament of the breaking of bread, thinking of particularly of communion, is to have new eyes to see the risen Jesus. We experience the same spirit of Jesus in the scriptures and in the sacrament. Words are not tangible, but bread and wine can be touched and felt. We can look at the sacrament with eyes of faith and we can see Jesus. But the sacrament is not illogical. When we think about it, we can see how the tangible can express the intangible. Don't the words on the pages of the Bible represent the mind of the writer and of God? We often communicate by symbols. The written words are not the thoughts in the mind, but they are the means by which those thoughts are conveyed to us, the readers. The bread is not the Christ, but it conveys the Christ Jesus, and it takes new eyes to see the meaning. So as we think, as I sum up about Emmaus, open your lips this morning, even as you receive bread and wine, to invite him into your home. It's late. Stay with us. Feel the relief as he agrees. Make the table ready. Put the bread, wine, and lamb on it. Invite the guests to give thanks for new life and salvation. Hear his words of blessing. Watch him break the bread and share it. Who can he be, this fellow pilgrim, this teacher, this friend of God? Feel your heart racing, your mind turning, your lips quivering. Yes, it must be. It is Jesus. It's you. We have new eyes to see you. Stay with us. We want to hold on to you, to keep you, to prove it's true. But, I don't like using buts, but bread that is kept goes stale. It must be as the manna for the Israelites, renewed every morning. New ears, new eyes, for a new day. That is resurrection faith. So some questions. Have we new eyes to hear the scriptures relating to God's plan, not only for yesterday, but also for tomorrow? Have we new ears to hear how Easter interprets our living today as well as yesterday? Have we new ears to relate the Easter story to our lives now? Have we new eyes to see Jesus in the bread of the altar and the bread for the needy out there? Have we new eyes to see the events of our day transformed into deeds of love to bring Jesus' presence into our midst? Have we new eyes to see suffering as shared by God, as surely as bread has to be broken to be shared? What do we hope for? What do we listen for? What do we look for at the breaking of the bread? Before Jesus met Cleopas and his friend, whoever that was, those travellers on the road, their fire, if it hadn't already, was going out. Now, at the breaking of the bread, their hearts were burning within them. It's true. And that's my prayer for me and for each one of us. That each day, no matter what you face, and some of us face tough times as well as some of us facing good times, that we will be filled, as only God can do, with that overflowing joy of the Lord, so that our hearts, as you wake up tomorrow morning, will burn afresh within you as our lives are a witness for the one who opens eyes even today. Let's just be still, shall we, for a moment before the group lead us in our singing together. And I'm going to ask you to remain seated as we sing, so maybe the group can come up and get ready as I pray, if that's possible. Think of that velveteen rabbit. Think of any cuddly toy you had when you were young that you probably loved almost to death. It lost its fur. It's lost its newness. It was maybe even broken, missing an eye or an ear. Lord Jesus, we thank you that although we are broken people, you reach into our lives, making us new. Lord, we pray that you will open our eyes and ears this coming week, wherever you lead us, to be aware of those broken people around us, and how that in your strength, not ours, you can enable us to draw alongside and share this good news that we have, that Jesus is alive, and no matter what we face in life, promises to be with us and to never, ever leave us. Inspire us, Lord, and by your Spirit, renew and refresh that love for you, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.